Okay, I wanted to start with the big news, and that's that the city budget was approved late last week, including, from what I hear, about $3.5 million in cuts. There was a proposed trash collection fee that was removed. All this, you say, will keep the city moving in the next year.
Absolutely. I guess there's a couple things about that. One is that, it's been kind of a moving target for the last few years about our property tax cap amounts, and it's finally leveled off what we thought was going to happen a couple of years ago. But so finally, there's some stability in the losses now. So we have a good idea of exactly how much property tax revenue we're going to take in. So we tried to build a budget by making some cuts in some other areas that are non-property tax, but then to ensure that property tax dollars would support those funds that need those dollars to operate. We got to keep moving the city forward. So I don't want to go backwards in services. Crime rates down, fire department ISO rating dropped. Those are the kind of things that are important to me. And so you got to still find a way to protect those areas because the citizens expect a high level of service, yet we got $12 million less a year coming in. So it's definitely a balancing act. So I feel really good that we got the budget approved. Overall, it's got about $3.5 million worth of cuts in it. But I think what's most important is with some revenues up in some areas with those cuts, it really put us in a great position to have a balanced budget for our general fund. And then overall, all the funds that they approved have about a $5 to $5.5 million surplus in it. So we'll be, positive revenues over expenses. And so, that's the first time we've been able to do that in a very long time. So yes, I feel good about it that we got it done, and I feel really good about as we move forward dealing with, our budget woes, if you will. But we still need a revenue piece. We did not include the trash fee in the budget. We had a discussion with the council that I included it in there to show them, here's what would happen if we had this money. We could pay off our deficit, take care of our gap in our funding. So we've been able to do it for another year to not have the trash fee, but we're gonna have to look at something as we go down the road for the future.
When we talk about the cuts, I think that might raise some eyebrows. Are there some areas that residents might see take effect next year when those cuts come in?
I don't think they'll see a whole lot because most of it is through attrition, not filling positions. Yeah, maybe we're a little slower, and maybe it takes a day longer to do a job or an activity. We'll probably cut back a little bit on some sidewalk work next year. We've been doubled up on it. We've been spending close to $900,000 a year, and we just can't continue to do that. So there may be a few little areas, but I think overall we've been able to make the cuts that we have made will not have a too big of an impact on service delivery, other than just not being able to fill positions.
There's still a city deficit, though, from this past year,
The
correct?
general fund
In the
has,
general
yes.
fund.
And let me just tell you a couple things, and that's a great question. We've got 82 funds, and we've got about six of them that have some kind of a deficit. And so the general fund is one of those. So when you kind of think about this, since 2010, really when the tax caps hit full-fledged, upon us very significantly, we've lost about $60 million total funding, and about $50 million of that is in the general fund and the other supporting funds, and so which is operating the city. We came into this year with a little over $5 million deficit, and so we still have to deal with that. But knowing that next year that we won't add to the deficit, we'll actually be able to begin to subtract from the deficit. That's our real pivotal point in time that I think is the most important thing for people to understand.
I also saw in the Tribune Star there was a $2 million loan still, though, for the budget. Is that for this past year or for the upcoming year?
No, that's a tax anticipation warrant. I mean, yeah, I guess you could call it a loan, but it's an advance on the property taxes. And so it comes directly off the next property tax distribution. So what we'll do at the end of this year, we'll pay off the one we have for this year. We used to take $5 million loans out. We're down to 2.7 this year, and next year it'll be 2 million. We'll eventually phase that out. But what you're doing is you're taking an advance on next December's tax disbursement, so you have that money to operate the entire year with. It's called a tax anticipation warrant, and so you're borrowing at a very, very small interest rate the money that you're going to get in December. So they take it off the top when you get your disbursement. We pay it back immediately.
Okay. I couldn't help but notice a little bit of controversy, though, in the Tribune Star regarding the timing of the budget to council members. What was the budget given to them and enough time for them to look over in your mind?
Absolutely. You know, they got it back at the first part of September, and none of the revenues have changed at all. And the only thing that happened, we had two budget meetings, one that lasted 4.5 hours. The next night it was about 2.5 hours. Then we had the first council meeting that lasted about 3 hours. Then we had the final meeting. The only thing they received that night was the updated cuts that we had made from the previous week. And so they asked us to make more cuts. We went in and made $800,000 of additional cuts, and we handed that to them that night just to say, here's the detail. It's in your budget packet. So what we handed to them was a whole new clean copy of everything, and the only change from the previous week was $800,000 more in cuts, which I can't even imagine there'd be even a debate about that, because that's what they wanted. So we gave it to them. That is just totally... it's an unfair statement to make. You know, they can, well, yeah, we did hand them a new copy of it, but nothing had changed in it except those two pages, and that's it. And none of them contacted us, made any effort to say, you know, give me something updated. So, yeah, whatever. I mean, it's worked that way for 8 years in a row now, really no different. And so why this year is it all of a sudden a big problem? Oh, I know why, because it's an election year.
You've mentioned revenue loss many times, property tax caps, other legislation. An interesting debate coming up is the tax values of big box stores, mm-hmm. and they want to be taxed as though they were sold as an empty store. Counties, of course, want to tax them as a fully functioning building, which is a big difference in that tax income. How do you think that will play out, and has that been an issue here in Terre Haute yet?
It hasn't been an issue here yet, but I hear stories across the state, and to me, that doesn't make any sense. Now, I can understand if it's an old building that's just reached the end of its life, and okay, you're not comparing that to a brand new store that somebody's going to build. I get that, but that's not what these cases are. These are stores that, particularly Walmart is one that does this a lot, where they'll go build a bigger store a mile down the road. So they leave an empty store, and they still own it, and they want it. They don't want to pay any taxes on it, or, you know, very minimal taxes on it. Well, the building is still in excellent shape. It can be used for a lot of different things. But will they sell it to somebody or not? That's the question. And so I think you just need to look at what the market is, what the value of the building is, obviously, based on what the market is getting. And not to be, to say, well, that's not fair because they abandon a building. Well, they build it and they used it for many years, and it's, something needs to happen. It needs its next life, and it should be taxed whatever the value is in the community.
We've been following the Indiana Regional Cities Initiative, and the Wabash River region gave their proposal to the Indianapolis Committee on why at least this part of the state deserves that $42 million mm-hmm. in the revitalization grants. That would be a big boost of economic development for this area. How did that initial presentation go?
Well, it went well. You know, you never know how you're going to rank. There were 7 presentations made over there, and we're one of those 7. Feel really good about the projects. We feel good about the counties that are, you know, aligned here along the Wabash River. You know, my guess is that we'll continue to build upon this and do some things on our own too that make our case even stronger in the future if we're not successful this time. But, you know, I think it's as good a proposal as anybody. It's a very cost effective. When you look at some of the proposals are, you know, really big dollar things, and ours is much more modest in a way that would and be very impactful. So I think we're in pretty good position, and we're going to keep building upon this. And I think it's a great program, but I'd love to see some of that funding come to West Central Indiana.
Yeah, and if you had top 3 things of why, or maybe that you would focus in on why that grant money should come here, what would those items be?
Well, I think overall, you know, we're a gateway on the western side of the state. There's no question. Lots and lots of traffic pass through Terre Haute, and it's a business entry point for whatever it is, whether it's people traveling or businesses wanting to locate here. So I think the state investing in those gateways are really important, and I see Terre Haute as a gateway. So when you look at the Regional Cities Initiative, of course Terre Haute sits over here as a regional city, but that funding would allow us to do things we can't do on our own. We simply just don't have the local dollars to be able to put into projects that we've listed and others. You know, we've got 50 other projects that are on our big list too, we just wanted to do some things that were realistic in this first phase, in this first go at the money. But I think it would be money well spent by the state to improve these gateway cities like Terre Haute, fits right into their regional cities initiative. So to me, it's kind of like it's got all the ingredients.
Speaking of the governor's ordering action on this drug task force that he's putting together, hoping to see some of the recommendations start to take effect. And you've been active through some legislation the past couple years too in an effort to reduce drug addiction in Indiana. What's your take on the drug task force in Indiana, and is it moving forward like you would like to see?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a tough question because there's some things that are, I think, are going really well and other areas that are lagging. There's always a big pushback with the meth part, which I've been directly involved in, because they don't want to make a pseudoephedrine, a prescription med like it used to be. But that would have such a huge impact on that. Heroin's coming into the state. You know, we still have prescription drug issues that are a big problem for us. So anything and everything we can do to eliminate access to these drugs, make it more difficult for people to, you know, obviously use them, and then provide some treatment schemes for, you can't save everybody, I get that too, but there are a lot of people that can be helped. And so we really need to step kind of above it all and look down and find out where the areas where funding needs to be that really has a payback. So I'd like to see them continue to do their work, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to put a dent, at least in the meth component, and we really need to do something about that heroin thing. That's really becoming a bad problem.
It's fall time in Terre Haute, a lot of stuff going on. We were just talking earlier about cleanup Terre Haute. How did that go?
It went great. You know, we picked the south side this year. We're trying to rotate around different parts of the city. We placed the very large dumpsters in a variety of locations, tell people bring the things to us that you would normally have to pay to take to the landfill. And we collected about 41.5 tons of stuff, a variety of things, which is a lot for a 4-hour period on a Saturday morning. We had a couple hundred volunteers that went out, picked up loose trash. We had then the big crews, the street department, the health department, and others that brought big equipment in, and we cleaned up a lot of dump sites and tires and, you know, mattresses and couches. Really, it was a very successful cleanup. I just appreciate everybody's efforts.
Just some odds and ends, water treatment plant almost done or is done?
It, other than some landscaping, all the bills are paid. I think that's an important thing to note to people. And just wrapping up the final little paint here, a little grass seed there. Really proud of that project.
This time of year brings homecoming to ISU and another big event, the Covered Bridge Festival, which isn't far from here. And I assume you're seeing a big impact here.
Absolutely.
Too.
You know, all the hotels are filled this week because of the Covered Bridge Festival. But then this weekend will be the Indiana State University homecoming, which always draws a tremendous amount of people. Big parade and activities all day on Saturday. You know, we'll have, between the two events, I mean, you're probably talking about an extra 10,000 people in the city for this week that are just staying here. I mean, it's more than that, but the ones that are staying here, because that's all the hotel rooms we have and other opportunities for people to actually stay here. But passing through, I mean, 1 million people go to the Covered Bridge Festival. So business is very good. It's exciting to see the hustle and bustle. Fall's always an exciting time for me, but we're really looking forward to the parade this Saturday, and then the Covered Bridge Festival goes through this weekend. So it's a busy week in Terre Haute.
Any areas people should maybe avoid construction in terms of getting around town this weekend?
Not really. You know, most of the things have kind of wrapped up. There's some things in the inner city which shouldn't affect the people on the highways and are passing through Terre Haute, but we're really in pretty good shape. I think that it's about as, you know, it's where you would hope it would be when you have a big mass of people like that spending time in your city. So it's an exciting, very exciting time, and just really enjoying the ride, I guess, right now. The fall events are in full swing.